We're still going to look at this word revealed some more, because it's the biggie. And so the next one is, let's go to John 17. John 17, as we've said many times, is the Lord's Prayer. The disciples' prayer is our Father which art in heaven. But all of John 17 is Jesus' prayer to the Father. And so we're going to verse 6 prayer is the disciples' prayer. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer.
Okay, Jesus' prayer.
Yeah, it's Lord. Christ praying to the Father just before his crucifixion.
Yeah.
Or before, just before the betrayal. Trying to figure out where to start. Start in verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil one. It just says evil there, but it's almost every place it says evil in the New Testament, it's the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in them, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now that they, the word there, they may be behold, is the revelation. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Numerous times, and earlier also in that prayer, it talks about this oneness. Thou in me, and I in them. And so that's... Have any of you ever read anything by Watchman Nee?
Yeah. Long time
ago. Yeah, me too, a long time ago. Huh?
Long time.
But Watchman Nee, he says that our thoughts are of the evil one. And so that we inhibit this mystery of oneness by continually using our mind. Every time, as I've said so many times, every time we use our mind, which is the evil one, then Christ takes the lowest seat. In fact, it was worse than the lowest seat. We put him in prison, in us, in the temple. So the whole mystery of this sanctification is this, that we might have the mind of Christ, where that channel between the Father is clear, between the Father and Jesus is clear, it's clear already, but that the channel between us and them may be clear also. And we have to get the crap out of the pipe. And that crap are the evil thoughts, or the thoughts which are evil. In Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, it says, "Forsake thy way and thy thoughts, for they are evil," or of the evil one. Jesus called the disciples, the Jewish that believed on him. He said, "You are of your father the devil." So we've got to see something. I say got to, because that's the whole purpose of being alive. Let's go to I forgot where I was going. I interrupted myself.
This word we're studying, revealed, provides the seeing.
Provides the what?
The seeing.
Seeing?
We see because of revealed.
If there's repentance. At every junction.
I don't believe that.
I think God does stuff regardless, whether we repent or not. We don't control him by repentance.
We're not controlling him. We're leaving the evil one.
What?
We're leaving the evil one.
Let's go to something about it that just sticks in my craw, that I have to do something so that God can do something.
Isn't that what happened when every conversion? There's a world is full of people that have Christ in them.
Yeah.
The Christian world is full of people that say they accept Jesus as a personal Savior. Meaningless.
Or else they saw something, and in the moment that they saw,
when they saw, they repented.
They agreed.
And then that has to continue. That's what sanctification is about. Every time you use your mind, you return to the evil one, there has to be repentance. Go to Ephesians 2.
I see it more like, if you leave, Jesus doesn't just say, "Okay, see you later," because even in the prayer he just said, he didn't lose one of them that was given to him.
Because every one of those 12, or the 11 of the 12, repented.
I mean, it doesn't mention that.
It mentions it all the time. I don't know what this is. I mean, this keeps.
It talks about let's move on from repentance from dead works. Let's see something more than that.
The only way you can see more than what happens after repentance is to have more repentance. Then you leave the repentance from dead works because you've repented of them.
So now you are alive in Him.
Well.
There's something here, and I don't know. That's why I fight with you about it all the time. And if I didn't have this in me, I'd stay quiet.
No, I understand.
And so, I don't know what it is, but it's just like when you hear stuff, it makes you, inside,
If repentance is the only time he's revealed. Again, look at the world. There's millions and millions of people. And Christ is in each one of them. That's what happened on Pentecost.
Let me come to another point. When we suffer, and we all go through sufferings, by that suffering, which I believe is the work of God in you, at the end of that suffering, there's revelation. Whether you repent or not, God reveals himself to show you what he's been doing. And in that scenario, you will effectively repent because of that which is revealed becomes, wow, I see something now that I didn't see before. And so you turn, but it's not by your will. And that's where I think I'm coming from.
I don't have any will. That's will has nothing to do with it. It's seeing. It's seeing.
Okay, but the way I'm hearing you say it is by your will. So then you release God. And that's
it's by the Holy Spirit we repent when we have come to the end of ourselves and when we have come to the end of living as Gentiles. He's not going to mess with us as long as we're continuing in the world. Then the Holy Spirit has to work to convict you where you're not believing on him and where you're leaning on your own arm of understanding. And the Holy Spirit's conviction is what produces repentance. And part of that Holy Spirit's work is through the preaching of the cross. If you read that Watchman Nee, you remember that he talked about the jillions of people that are so-called believers that are still living by their evil thoughts, or by their thoughts which are evil. Well, they're not preaching the cross. Go to Ephesians 2.
I've got Ronnie's book, and he's right. Every time you turn it, it goes right to this place it's supposed to go to.
Magic billboard Bible.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We're not talking here about, that's not the world, it's the children of disobedience are believers who are still walking by the world. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. The point of it is, as children of God, if we're still using the mind, then we're children of wrath. We even though we say we are believers.
Okay, but then he quickens. He gives life regardless.
But he quickened only Jesus Christ.
While we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ.
In Christ.
And by grace we're saved.
Right. Of course, I believe that.
I know, but the way I'm hearing it, it doesn't sound quite the same. Grace and repentance are two different universes to me. We're saved by grace, period. We can never do anything right to be right toward God.
Well, Gary, let's look at one. Let's look at the biggie. Go to 2 Corinthians 10.
I've heard preaching over my life about
That's the mind of Christ.
And that's when it really is truly, truly, truly finished.
And, well, it's finished in you, but then the work around you, for others, began. But the whole mystery of this is this emptiness. I can't emphasize it enough.
What's frustrating for me is salvation. Salvation's, say, you get baptized, there's nothing to that. Salvation's pretty easy. Redemption is fairly easy. But sanctification, wow, that is.
That's the walk. That's the reason time exists.
It's almost like X to the 10th power. It is. Wow.
It isn't that when you see as he sees. Remember, that's what confess Jesus means. The word confession is homologio, and it means to say the same thing because you've heard the same thing and because you see the same thing. If that's not going on, if you're still looking from the bottom up instead of the top down, then, you know, here's the mystery. It says, we've studied this many times, but let's try again. Verse 3, chapter 10, 2 Corinthians. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing or high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having any readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Your obedience is fulfilled at these times of emptiness. Because at that time, then the mind of Christ is there. But if you don't go to war with the mind, then you're just like, you know, I don't know, you're just some like somebody, you're a pecan running around trying to be a better pecan instead of falling into the ground and dying. But you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every single thought.
And that's done by your emptiness.
By your repentance. Well, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That means that you don't allow your mind to go off on these idiot things of the world. You bring every single thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And the only way you can bring that every thought into captivity is by repentance. Otherwise, you're going to continue in this thinking your thoughts are God's thoughts. No.
That sounds like, what would Jesus do?
Jesus did. And we must continue in that same path. As he is in the world, so are we.
Remember the bracelets, what would Jesus do? Remember all that?
Of course.
Is that in tune with what you're saying here?
Well, I mean, doesn't have anything to do with it, but
it has a lot to do with it. Well, you're saying, I'm not advocating wearing bracelets, but the notion is the same. The sentiment is the same. The purpose is the same. To qualify all your actions to the mind of Christ. What would Jesus do? Every action that you take, every thought that you have, what would Jesus do?
He repented.
Well, I don't understand what he did. I'm talking about the movement.
Okay, I'll accept that. I just went back to the time of all those bumper sticker things.
Well, I do too, and that's what smacks of it a little bit, and that's what sets me back. But the sentiment is correct.
Can I understand with Gary? I think what you were trying to say, I remembered it came to my mind when you were saying, is today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I think that's it, that what you're trying to say is that the repentance doesn't come till he does the work of, you hear his voice. Like he's, life to bring you into the knowledge of Him, and then you, at that moment, you repent. There is repentance because you see the vanity of everything. I think, is that what you're saying? Because that came to my mind today. If you hear His voice, so
you enter into the rest.
Exactly.
You enter into He is the rest. He is the Sabbath. And so we cease from our own works in every dimension.
But I think what He was trying to say is that...
Well, I know what He's trying to say.
Even in this one, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Right.
So repentance...
is not carnal because it's from the Holy Spirit. But you have to be open to it. Otherwise, you're just one other guy walking around. Again, remember, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to John 16.
You guys need to take turns so that everybody can get their thought out before the other person responds. Everybody's interrupting. I can't keep up.
Okay, John 16. Verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come, the Paraclete. I don't know where they got comfort out of that, but anyway. The Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. So the Holy Spirit is constantly working in us to convict us where we're not believing on Him, where we're leaning on our own arm of understanding, or we're trying to figure things out, or doing anything where the mind is used, because the mind is enmity against God. The mind will trick you. That's its nature. It is the snake. Unless you believe in talking snakes, it is your mind, and the mind of Adam and Eve was the snake. And it does everything in the universe to try to trick you into believing the use of your mind is sanctified.
It loves that.
And so herein... I convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit is convicting the world, you and I, of sin. And for us, sin is any time we return to us, because we are sin. Anytime you put anything in that channel, remember Jesus said, I do nothing of my own, but I only do what I see the Father. Nothing can come from you of any value.
How do you suppose that took place?
What took place?
I only do what I see my Father do. How does that boil down?
His mind is empty. There's nothing else there. The channel is clear to the Father, and so there's no more thinking about anything. He doesn't think, He acts.
And as He acts, He is doing what He sees.
He's doing the will of the Father.
Do.
Right.
And in that oneness, there's no time gap. Oh, the Father did this, I do that. That doesn't exist.
But that's because He was buried, a son of man, at His baptism. He buried His mind. But His mind kept trying to resurrect itself from the dead, just like yours is.
That's what my mind wants to say.
Right. The mind is your identity.
Yeah.
And that's, but it's the evil one. It cannot have any truck with God.
Yeah. Can't have any what?
Truck. Anything to do with.
Any
interaction.
That's why it's, again, we must bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you start thinking about something that changes with time, place, or circumstance, you know it's ridiculous, no matter how good it seems. If you start thinking you're just going to sit around and Christ is going to do stuff, no, because the Holy Spirit is, you know, that's why the grieving of the Holy Spirit is when we don't allow that, because we've nailed a position. And we've justified ourselves. And once we justify ourselves, then what happens? You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. If you're doing anything, if you esteem anything that the world esteems, you know you're on the wrong track. If you give importance to anything the world gives importance to, you're off track. If you love anything the world loves, you're off track. And the Holy Spirit is the inertial guidance system that's pulling you back. But the mind resists constantly. It resists to death. But in that, the death, it's over and over again of that evil one's death. Because, and this is a key, this is the thing that's, that you, when you, for the world, the mind is them. That's their ego, their id, their superego, and all the other crap.
And what you were just saying sounds like state, if you want to use the word, the state of being sanctified.
Then the real test comes.
And that is so, it's so exciting, but it seems so darn difficult.
Well, just think, I mean, my God, I keep saying this over and over again. How did 12 men turn the world upside down? In one generation, without any communication systems, without any transportation of any, except boats and their feet, they turned the world upside down because they emptied themselves. One man might produce a tornado. 12 men produces a hurricane, because the emptiness is total, and you're at total peace in the eye of that hurricane, and everything around you should be going to hell. And that emptiness is what creates the spiritual low pressure zone that only Christ fulfills. But without the emptiness, you're just another Gentile putting God's name on yourself. Emptiness is easy. It's not difficult. All you have to know is every thought comes from the evil one, no matter how righteous and how good it seems. Your mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Let this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, be also in you. You let by repentance from every other mind activity. Even if you think it's necessary for your life. If you can't, then you must, you have to take the lowest seat. You have to say, Father, I hear, but I don't know how to live like this. Help me. Help me see it. Help me live like this, where there's nothing about you that tries to save yourself. How did when the disciples prayed, there was healing? Why? Because the channel was cleared. jails opened, dead were raised. And that's what God wants someone and somebody in this generation to be. Each one of you are called to that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Many are called, but few are chosen. Because it's fearful to fall into the hands of a living God, where there's no protection for self, for you or yours, in any dimension. I'm not saying I've lived this life, but I've certainly tried. I've repented when I didn't. Beg of you, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And if you can't, at least take the lowest seat. Confess it.
I personally get tired of my, I want to call it my reactive repentance, where there I go again. I find that I enjoy. Proactive repentance, but isn't prayer a form of repentance?
No.
You know, where I'm praying and I'm...
Depends what you pray, whether it's repentance or not.
I'm myself and I'm,
you know, you pray for forgiveness, that's repentance. Consider these things. Take it, big guy.